Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, this morning. We are in the house again to worship you. And we thank you for the glorious praise and worship that we've had. We thank you, Lord, for the praise, the worship, the great things that you've already done, stirring up our spirits. And we just give you the praise, we give you the glory, Lord. And as we enter into thy word now, Lord, the Bible says the entrance of the word of God brings light. Hallelujah. Therefore, Lord, let the light shine in every heart now. Bring the word and glorify yourself in the message of the Lord. And let your name, even your name, be glorified alone. And thank you, Lord Jesus, for enlightening our minds to understand thy word this morning. We give you all the praise and all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Everybody said amen. Amen. Put your hands together for the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, you can do better than that. Hallelujah. Now, just because we are teaching this morning doesn't mean you can't be excited. We love to have people excited. You know, so, you know, even though, you know, I said I'm going to be teaching and define a little bit. You know, if you hear something that makes you excited, you are still free to shout. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. I love the shout of victory anytime. Hebrews chapter 11 is where we're starting today. And the message is the essentials of faith. Now, that's what I'm going to teach on this morning. Essentials of faith. The essentials of faith. I'm going to read one verse. Now, those of you who have been in the Bible study and prayer meetings over the last couple of weeks, you may have gotten some insight on this, but you know, the Lord was moving on my heart to bring this message to the General Assembly here so that everybody will get a blessing from this. You know, so we've talked about this a little bit in the prayer meetings and so forth, and the Bible studies and the midweek services. But today I want this, you know, to go to the benefit of everybody in the church here. So this is the essentials of faith. It's what we're talking about this morning, and I'm reading just one verse in Hebrews chapter 11, and I'm going to read verse 13. Now, you can read the whole chapter on your own, and of course, you might call that the, you know how people are inducted into the Hall of Fame of different things and so forth. You might call this Hebrews chapter 11, you know, the Hall of Fame for the warriors of faith. Amen? Praise God. You know, so that's all the honor, you know, in the annals of history. And these people stood out, you know, that they wrote about here in the Bible. But I want to just read verse 13 is where we are coming from this morning. And the Lord is going to bring something to us. So we want everybody to pay attention. Hebrews 11 and 13. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were pilgrims and strangers on the earth. Now, so I'm going to be talking about the essentials of faith, and four essentials of faith that I will be talking about from this one verse here today. And we're going to show from the scriptures how you use your faith. And if you can understand this message, you will have the victory every time. Amen? Praise the Lord. It is that important, because faith, the Bible says, no man can please the Lord without faith. Right here in this chapter, it says it is impossible to please the Lord without faith. So we know faith is very critical. And even Jesus said, you know, in Luke, you know, he said, when the Son of Man comes, Luke 18 and verse 8, shall he find faith on the earth? You know, so faith is so important, you know, and that's what we're going to be teaching about this month. So the four elements, and those of you who have been in the Bible studies, you may immediately recognize this. The four elements we're going to be talking about are taken from this verse 13 this morning. The first one is this. See and know the promises of God. Now, these people, they saw the promises of God, even though it was afar off. That's the first thing. He says, you know, they were, even though they had not yet received the promises, but they had seen them afar off. So they saw the promises of God afar off. And then the second thing was they were persuaded of those promises, and then they embraced them, and then they confessed. So there's four things we're going to be talking about here. See the promise, you know, be persuaded, embrace, and confession. So we're going to bring these things out, you know, from the Word of God, and we want to teach this in a way that if you get it, you know, you will have a victory every time. Praise the name of the Lord. So the first thing is for you to see and know the promises of God. And right away, I want to tell you this, that for your faith to be valid, it has to be based on the Word of God. You cannot just have faith in what you think, or have faith in your faith. That may be good or maybe not. Maybe it'll work sometimes, maybe it won't. We don't know. But if you have faith based on the Word of God, now that's the one we're talking about. So the first thing is to know what God has promised. See, so these people knew the promises of God. Even though they hadn't received them, they saw the promises of Pharaoh. You know, they knew it's still for, you know, it's still coming, and they're, you know, they're using their faith to hang in there and believe the Lord and keep walking towards the promise. But, you know, they saw the promise. They knew the promise, even though it was still of Pharaoh. Now, your faith must be based on the Word of God. You know, so, Lamentations, chapter 3, and verse 37. You say Lamentation? Yes, that's the little book right after Jeremiah, and before, you know, right after Jeremiah there, before Ezekiel, and before Daniel, before you go into that. So Lamentations, right after Jeremiah, before Ezekiel. Lamentation 3 and 37. I want everybody to be writing these things down, because this is the, we don't want your faith to be based on speech, but it'll be based on the Word of God. Amen?
Amen?
Who is he that saith, and it cometh to pass? That's Lamentation 3 and 37. When the Lord commands it not. So your faith, in order for it to be valid, or whatever you say to be valid, has to be based on what the Lord has already spoken. And if he didn't speak it, well, you may be believing it, but, you know, we don't know if it'll come to pass or not. You know, so that's the first thing. You've got to know his word. You've got to know what he says, you know, because you can't operate outside the framework of the Word of God and expect it to happen. You know, so you've got to know his word. Now, in Isaiah chapter 8 and verse 20, the scripture is going to say basically somewhat the same thing. If you operate outside the Word of God, it is because there is no light in you. It says, to the law and to the testimony, Isaiah 20. That's the Word of God. Always go back to the Word of God every time. That's what he's saying. You know, if anyone speak, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. So first, you know, you have to speak according to the Word of God. You've got to believe according to the Word of God. You know, the promises of God, you know, that he gave, you know, that's based in the Word of God. You know, so, you know, you got to believe that. And that's the first thing. So you got to know his promises. Now, there are many promises in the Word of God about just about everything, every sphere and every area of our life. God's got something to say about it. Amen?
Yes.
Because he is the author, you know, and he put the life together. And this book right here is like the user's manual, you know. So, you know, he'll tell you, you know, how to go about, you know, doing things and so on, you know, if you will listen and follow the Word of God. You know, so I'm going to give a few examples. Now, we're still talking about knowing his word, knowing what he has promised, you know. And the song we sang this morning said, when I remember his promises, and I said, well, that will go right here with the message. When I remember his promises, I will shout hallelujah. Well, you have to know the promises. Amen? If you're not reading this word, you may not even know what God has said, you know, and so on. So don't leave it up to the pastor, or leave it up to somebody else to read the word for you. You read the word yourself. Now, so there are many things that God has promised, and I'm going to run through quickly some of them here. God has promised salvation. Amen?
Yeah.
Well, you know, he said, you know, if you confess your sins, if you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you will be saved. Now, that's kind of like a promise, you know, but he has a condition behind it too. You know, now remember, those of you who are in the Bible study, we talked about many of the promises of God. You know, each one of them will carry sometimes a premise, you know, carry like a condition behind, you know, behind that and so forth. Now, he talked about salvation in Acts chapter 16. You know, when Paul, of course, there are many scriptures, the whole Bible, especially the New Testament, gives many scriptures, you know, about how to be saved and so forth like that. But in Acts chapter 16 and verse 31, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. And he also gives a promise for your house as well. Thou shalt be saved and thy house. Amen?
Amen.
Praise God. So that's a promise. You know, if you stand on the word of God, you know, and you claim the promise for your family, you know, that's a promise right there. So you got to know that. So there is a promise that God gives for salvation, not only for you, but for your house. The Lord also gives a promise. I'm going to run through these promises very quickly. He gives a promise for the Holy Spirit, the infilling of the Holy Spirit. Say, some people call it baptism of the Holy Spirit. Well, the Bible also calls it baptism of the Holy Spirit in some places. But this promise is for everyone. You know, and you can find that in Acts chapter 2. And I'm going to read verses 38 and 39. Now, on the day of Pentecost, you know, when they received that first outpouring of the Holy Spirit, and after Peter stood and preached, you know, some people wondered, you know, what was going on and so forth. And here's what Peter said in his message, among other things, you know, how that this promise can be for them as well. Acts chapter 2, and I'm going to read verses 38 and 39. And he said, then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. If you repent and you confess your sins and so forth like that, and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, he said, you shall receive the Holy Ghost. He said in verse 39, for this promise, now that's a promise, this promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. So that's a promise right there. You know, so you should know his promises. So when you are believing in the infilling of the Holy Spirit, or baptism of the Holy Spirit, or for yourself or your children to receive the Holy Ghost, right here, the promise is there. This promise is unto you. This promise is unto as many as the Lord our God shall call. Now, he also gives promise concerning healing. So I'm just going to go through some of these things, and there are many more, but I may not be able to go through all of them on account of time. But he gives a promise concerning healing. In Exodus chapter 15 and verse 26, you know, here's what the Lord said to the children of Israel. Now, the children of Israel, you know, they also represent, you know, a type of, you know, the church today. And here's what he said to them in Exodus 15 and verse 26. Remember, I said, you know, also some of these promises carry a condition. Now, Exodus 15 and 26. And he said, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and will do that which is right in his sight. Now, that's the condition. If you will hearken to diligently to the voice of the Lord, and you will do what is right in his sight. He says, and you will give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes. Then he said, and here is his promise. If you do that, that's your part. Now, here is his part. If you will do that, I will put none of these diseases upon thee. Amen? Which I have brought upon the Egyptians and so forth. For I am the Lord that healeth thee. Now, I like the sound of that. I am the Lord that healeth thee. You know, so that's a promise that he will heal your sickness and he will heal your disease. And he goes even beyond that. He will keep you from sickness and disease and all these evil things if you will diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord. Now, so that's a promise that we must, you know, remember. You know, so I'm going through some of these promises real quick. There's also promise for deliverance, no matter your situation. No matter the situation that you are in. Remember, there are four elements that are essential to faith, and we are talking about them. We're still on the first one, which is knowing his promises. We're still on that first one. This was what they did. They saw the promises afar off. So they knew the promise, you know, and they, you know, they set their sights on the promise. You know, so now there is a promise of deliverance for anyone that shall call upon the name of the Lord. Amen? That's in Joel chapter 2 and verse 32. The book of Joel chapter 2 and verse 32. You know, and you can find Joel after Daniel. After Daniel comes Hosea and then Joel right there. Joel chapter 2 and verse 32. He says, and it shall come to pass. You know, when the Lord, every time the Lord says it shall come to pass, that means it shall come to pass. Amen? It shall come to pass that whosoever Now, that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered.
Amen.
So that's a definite promise for deliverance when you get a hold of the Lord and get a hold of His mercy. You know, we preach about the mercy of the Lord, you know, and calling upon the name of the Lord. Now, that's getting a hold of the Lord, and that's not turning Him loose. You know, this is not just saying, well, call upon the name of the Lord and just say, well, Jesus. No, that's not going to do it. You get a hold of God, you determine not to turn loose until you get your answer. Amen?
Amen.
But He gave a promise that anyone, whosoever, now that's the most critical word in the gospel. That word, whosoever. It's whosoever will, let him come and drink of the water of life freely. Whosoever will believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, whosoever. That's for anybody. That's whosoever. You know, so whosoever will call upon the name. You know, if you want to call upon the name of the Lord today, no matter your situation, if you can get a hold of God and lean on His mercy, He will deliver you. Praise the name of the Lord. So we have His promise for that. We also have His promise of protection. Protection. You know, but, you know, for all of these promises, we see there's always a condition. For this deliverance that we just read, there's a condition. You've got to call on the name of the Lord. Amen? You've got to call on the name of the Lord, and then He will deliver you. Now, we see a promise, I mean, promises, many promises of His protection. This book, this chapter of Psalms 91, the whole chapter talks about how God will protect, you know, those that are dwelling in a secret place, you know. But I'm not going to read it all, you know, but I will read just a couple of verses. That's Psalm 91. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High. Now, that's the condition. You must dwell in the secret place of the Most High.
Amen.
You can't be out here in the world, carrying on like the world and looking like the world and so forth, and then expect the Lord to keep His own part. No. There is a condition to this. You know, the promises carry conditions behind them. If you dwell in the secret place of the Lord, then you will abide under the shadow of the Almighty.
Amen.
It's always a two-way covenant. God's got His part, but you've got your part too. You know, so he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Lord. And for dwelling in a secret place, you know, and so forth, you know, here is, what's that secret place? Well, that's the place where it is just you and Him. Amen. Praise the Lord. That's the place where you block out all the voices of this world. That's the place where you block out all the cares of the life and so forth like that. That's the place where you meet with Him one-on-one in worship. Praise the name of the Lord. And in praise, that's the place that you do that. And He said, surely He shall deliver you. That's surely. Now that's a promise. That's surely He will deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. That means when there is any of these plagues in the land and all this flu and every of these things that's going on and so forth like that, you know, that's got everybody all riled up and panicking, He will deliver you. Amen. And you will not be afraid of the terror by night. You will not be afraid of the arrow that flies by day. That's like bullets and so on. You know, doesn't matter whatever is going on, because He will protect you. 1,000 shall fall at thy left hand and this way, you know, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come near thee. How many of you can say praise the Lord to that? You can read the rest of that chapter. It is so wonderful. It said, because thou hast made the Lord. See, that's the condition. Because you have made the Lord, which is my refuge. Now the psalmist, he liked to claim the Lord as though He was his. He would say, the Lord my God, the Lord my shield and my deliverer. You know, He made it personal. Can you make it personal? Do you have a personal relationship? Do you have a personal connection with God? Can you say, the Lord is my shepherd? Oh my. Can you say that? Is the Lord your shepherd? Hallelujah. Is He your high tower? Is He your shield? Is He your defense? Oh, is He your fortress? Oh my. Is He the lifter up of your head? Do you know these things about the Lord in a personal connection? Or the psalmist did. And he said, because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, your habitation, therefore there shall no evil befall you. Oh my. Isn't that a promise of protection? My goodness. There shall no evil befall you, neither shall any plague come near your dwelling. Now you can say to the evil and you can say to the plague, I have the promise of God.
Amen.
You cannot befall me, neither can you come near my dwelling. Therefore pack your load and go. Amen.
Amen.
Praise ye the name of the Lord.
Amen.
Now you may think that's all joke, that's all a joke and so forth, it looks so simplistic. Yeah, but that's how it works.
Yes.
You know, God didn't make anything complicated and so forth. You know, in fact the Bible says, knowing the terror of the Lord will use great plainness of speech. So Jesus, he always made it plain. You know, in fact, the only people that he made it complicated for were the Pharisees. So he told it to them in parables so they wouldn't understand anything. Because they didn't believe the Lord anyway. You know, but to the common people, he made it simple.
Yes.
Praise ye the name of the Lord. That's right. That's all you got to do. Believe the word of the Lord. So there's promise of protection and so forth. Now, there is also promise of financial supply. Oh, my. Oh, I think everybody ought to love that, especially in this time. In Philippians chapter 4 and verse 19, he said, but my God. Now notice again, now Paul in this case, he's making it personal. Paul is saying, my God shall supply your needs. Oh my. Now he's standing in a place that I'm standing today and telling the people that my God shall supply your needs. Now I want to say to you also by the word of the Lord, my God shall supply your need. According not to your salary, according not to your job, according not to the money you have or don't have, but according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. How many of you can say praise the Lord to that? That's right. My God shall supply. So those are some promises. So we see, well, you got to know these promises. And sometimes some of these promises carry some conditions and so forth. So when you know these promises, you know, and so on, then you can set your sights on them. Like the Hebrews 11:13, that was our key text for this message or this teaching. They saw the promises of God afar off. Then they were persuaded and embraced and then began to confess. So we're going to talk about those four elements. We're still on number one. That was the knowing his promises. Now, we also have the promise of the rapture. Some people call it rapture. Some people call it translation. Some people call it the catching away of the church. Some people call it the Lord coming again for the church. We have that promise. And for the people of God, we've got that promise. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. We have many things that God has promised us, you know, all through the Bible. I will restore, said the Lord. The promise of restoration. He gives it to us in Joel 2 and verse 25. I will restore. You know, and he said again in Amos chapter 9 and verse 11, if you are writing this down, I will restore again the tabernacles of David that are broken down. That's the spirit of praise and worship. We'll be coming back. You know, I'm going to bring back the ruins that I've laid out. I'm going to close the breaches thereof. And reset them as like olden times. God is looking for a man after his heart again.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Praise God. Now, the promise of the rapture. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 16 and 17. Now, you've got to know these promises. Now, some people shout and jump and scream when they hear that God has promised them some money or is going to give them some financial blessing and so forth. And they scream. But you ought to shout and scream even more when you hear of the promise of the returning of the Lord.
Amen.
Amen? Now that's
1
Thessalonians chapter 4 and verses 16. So let me quickly read that to you in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 verses 16. Now in this chapter, of course, Paul is talking about the coming again of the Lord for the church. So let's see what he has to say. 1 Thessalonians 4. Verse 16, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. That's like the trumpet. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Now those who have passed on and were believing the Lord at the time and their lives, you know, were in God's hands, you know, they will rise first. But the Bible says, we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Isn't that wonderful? Oh yes, this same Jesus in Acts chapter 1, the angel told them that his soul taken up from you shall come back in like manner again. Oh yes, so he said you'll be watching for it. So we see so many wonderful promises. You know, now There are some wonderful promises for the overcomer. And we talked about this, you know, in the message here about a week or two ago. The overcomer's reward and so forth. But I will read just one of them for you. I just touched on some of these promises, you know, and there are many more throughout the Bible, but I just touched on some of them. In Revelation 3 and verse 21, the promise for the overcomer. Well, what is it that you have to overcome? Well, first of all, you've got to overcome that sin nature. You got to get rid of all that unrighteousness. Praise ye the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. You've got to become regenerated and so forth like that. You know, so Revelation chapter 3:21. To him that overcometh, and you also have to overcome all the things that the devil's throwing at you. You got to overcome. To him that overcometh, will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I overcame, and I am set down with my Father in his throne. How many of you can say amen to that?
Amen.
That's right. The overcomer will sit with Christ in his throne. So that those are wonderful promises. Now, we've laid the foundation for that. So the first thing is you must know his promises. So I touched on some of the promises just to give you some example. Now we'll go to the second step. Be persuaded. Be persuaded about what? The Bible says they saw the promises afar off and they were persuaded. Persuaded about what? Well, what you got to be persuaded is that God is able to keep his promise. That's right. You know, you've heard me say it many times here in the church. That is non-negotiable. You've got to be persuaded that God is able to keep whatever he has promised. Oh yeah, there is no gainsaying that. You cannot, you know, you just can't negotiate that. You've got to be persuaded that God is able to keep his promise. Now let's see what the Bible has to say about that. Now again, this is a teaching, that's why I'm giving all the, many of these scriptures. You write them down, you check them later. Romans chapter 4, verses 20 to 21. It's talking about the testimony of Abraham when God gave him promise. And in Romans chapter 4, he's going to talk about how Abraham, you know, got the promise of God, got a hold of that promise, and did not, he wouldn't turn loose. He didn't care, you know, what it looked like or didn't look like. He stayed with the promise. Romans 4 and verse 20. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but he was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded. Now that's the key. This is the second of the four elements of faith that we are talking about this morning. The first is knowing what he has promised. We've covered that already. We're in the second point now. You must be persuaded that God is able to keep what he has promised. You know, and here's what he says. Abraham, being fully persuaded that what he, God, had promised, he also was able to perform.
Amen.
You must believe that.
Hallelujah.
That's the second essential element of your faith. After that you found what God has promised, then you must know and be persuaded within you that God is able to keep that which he has promised. That God is able, and not only is he able, brethren, you know, he is willing. Praise God. Hallelujah. The Holy Ghost just dropped that into my mind. God is willing. Not only able, but he's also willing. Praise ye the name of the Lord. That's right. But he is able, and he is willing to perform his promises. Praise God. Now, Isaiah chapter 55, verse 11. We're still talking about how God is able to perform his promises. You know, when he promised something, oh, you better be sure that God is able to see it through. Praise God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Isaiah 55 and verse 11. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void. How shall it be? Well, let me read verse 10 for you. He said, for as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven and returneth not thither. So when the rain comes down, it doesn't go back up. You know, but he waters the ground and so forth like that, that he may bring forth fruit and seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So shall my word be, the Lord said, that proceeds out of my mouth. And you can check out the message that we preached here a year or so ago. And the word of, you know, the word sustains itself. It's on the website. GMI Church. gmail.com. The word sustains itself. You know, this word, my word, so shall it be that goeth out of my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please. That's the Lord speaking.
Hallelujah.
And he said, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it.
Amen.
So you must be persuaded that that's the case with his promises. Amen?
Amen?
So that's number two. You know the promise. Number two, the first one is you know the promise. Number two is you are persuaded that he is going to watch over that word to fulfill it, and he is able to do it too.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Now, the third thing, well, before I go to that, let me give you a few more scriptures. I was trying to hurry on here, but the Lord said, no, read these ones because they are very critical. Jeremiah chapter 33. Jeremiah 33 and verse 14. This is something you have to be persuaded about as well. And I'm going to give you one more scripture on this second important element of faith. Jeremiah 33 and verse 14. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will perform that good thing which I have promised unto the house of Israel and to the house of Jacob. How many of you can say amen?
Amen.
Do I have anybody in the house of Israel in here? Oh yes. Do you have any seed of faith in here this morning?
Amen.
That's right. God made a promise to Abraham to his seed. Not exactly Isaac, but his seed. Oh yes. And that's us here this morning, and we are here. Praise God. And if you believe it, he said, you know, the days are coming that I'm going to perform everything that I promised. I will perform it. Praise ye the name of the Lord. Now turn with me to Ezekiel. I hope you are marking down these scriptures. Ezekiel chapter 12, and I am going to read now. This one the Lord wanted me to read, and he didn't want me to pass it over. I was going to pass it over, but he said, you go back and read that one. Ezekiel chapter 12, and I am going to read verses 21 through about 28. Ezekiel 12. He says, you know, here the Lord is telling them some things here. You know, they used to say, here's what the people used to say. Say, and word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, what is this proverb that you have in the land of Israel, saying, the days are prolonged and every vision faileth? Now, the people are complaining that, you know, God is not answering and he's not keeping his word and the vision are not coming to pass. Everything that God has promised is failing. That's what the people are saying, you know. So they are waiting and they are weary and so forth. And here's what the Lord has to say. He says, Son of man, he told them, tell them therefore, now I want to tell you here this morning, amen? Thus saith the Lord God, I will make this proverb to cease.
Amen.
The proverb that says days are prolonged, God, you know, is not answering and everything. God said, I'm going to make it all to cease.
Amen.
Amen. Oh yes. He said, the days are at hand, saith the Lord, and the effect of every vision is at hand. He said, it's at hand. He said, yes. He said, for there shall no more be any vain vision or any fluttering divination within the house of Israel. For I am the Lord, I will speak, and the word that I shall speak shall come to pass.
Amen.
And it shall no more be prolonged. That's right. So you've got to be persuaded that his promise shall come to pass. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will not tarry long. Amen. Praise ye the name of the Lord. Now he said unto them, thus saith the Lord, verse 28. There shall none of my words be prolonged anymore. But the word which I have spoken shall be done, saith the Lord. Can you say amen?
Hallelujah.
So you've got to be persuaded that God is going to do that thing which he has promised. Now that's the second element of getting great power through faith with God. That's what we're talking about this morning. Now, the third element found in Hebrews 11 and 13 was the embrace. He said they saw the promises afar off, they were persuaded, and they embraced them. And then they confessed. See? So now that we know the promise, now that we are persuaded that God is able to keep his promise, now you have to embrace that promise for yourself. You've got to make that promise become part of your life. Don't just think that God has promised it for somebody else. See, that's the embracing part. Some people think that, well, you know, it's, you know, somebody God promised me, but if it was was for those days and it doesn't happen anymore and so forth. You know, people just think all this kind of thing. I am the Lord and I change not. Jesus Christ the same. Yesterday, today, and forever. How many of you can say praise the Lord? Everything. You've got to know that everything that he has promised, everything that he has promised, he is able to do. You embrace it for yourself. Let's read Luke chapter 1, verses 38 and 35. Now, in this story, the angel came to announce to Mary, the virgin, that she was going to be pregnant by the Holy Ghost to have the baby Jesus. And after he said all that, he said, now she was wondering, you know, well, you know, I haven't even been with a man and so forth. But the angel told her, don't worry about it. With God, nothing shall be impossible. So Mary said in verse 38, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. Now that's how you embrace the promises of God. Now, let's try that together. I want the people in the church today, say with me together, be it unto me according to thy word, O Lord. That's right. That's how you embrace the promise of God. Now, don't worry about, don't doubt, you know, what God has promised, and he will fulfill. What you need to know is what he promised, not how he's going to do it. And not when, you know, you just believe what he promised, and he will bring it to pass. But you must embrace it for yourself. Oh yeah. Embrace it for yourself, absolutely. In the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 1, this is part of how you embrace it for yourself, but it also goes back to the second precept of faith that we talked about. You know, this is how you embrace these things. In the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 1, I mean, let's read verse 20 and see what he has to say about the promises of God. He says, for all the promises of God, this is 2 Corinthians chapter 2, I mean chapter 1 and verse 20. For all the promises, not some of the promises, but all the promises of God are in him. He's talking about Christ Jesus. In him, yea, and in him, amen. All of his promises. So you embrace the promises of God into your life. You say, Lord, I know that your promises in Christ are yea and amen. And let them be unto me according to your word. And every day you appropriate the promise. If it is a promise of healing, you claim it for yourself. If it is all of those promises that we read at the beginning, you begin to appropriate them for yourself and you claim them. Now let's quickly read this. Mark chapter 9 and verse 23. Mark chapter 9 and verse 23. Here's what Jesus said unto him. If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. How many of you can say amen to that?
Amen.
If you have a red letter edition, you'll see that Jesus said that, you know, and so on, to the man that had the child that, you know, was being tormented by the devil and so on. And Jesus said, if thou canst believe, if you believe, all things are possible. You know, that means when you are believing and walking these elements of faith like we are teaching here this morning, you know, then all things are possible to you. All things are possible to you. But first, it must be based on the word of God. You must find a promise in the word of God that you are believing, and you must know that God is able to do that. Then you embrace it into part of your life, you know, and then you know that God is going to do it for you. And the last part, the last precept, these are four elements of faith that we are talking about here this morning. I'm trying to go through this very quickly. The last part is the confession. You must confess the promise. If you can, you do it daily. You've got to confess. Oh yeah, there are many scriptures that deal about that, but let's read a few. Romans chapter 10, verses 6 through 10. It says, the righteousness which is of faith speaks on this wise. Say not in your heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above. You know, some people are always waiting until Christ comes down and so forth like that. Say, look, that's not how faith works. He's telling you. You don't need to say, well, you know, Christ has to come down. You know, that's not how faith works. You know, and you don't need to say who is going to descend into the deep to bring Christ up from the dead, because he is risen already.
Hallelujah.
He is not in the graves. You know, amen? But how does the faith work? He says, well, the word is nigh you, and it is in your mouth. That's your confession.
Hallelujah.
That's the word.
Amen.
The word is in your mouth and it's in your heart. The word of faith, sir, which we speak. And we have a message also on the website that's titled The Word of Faith. It'll do you good to listen to that. You know, the word of faith. And it says, if you shall confess with your mouth. So you see that he's even talking about using your mouth to proclaim, you know, amen? If you shall confess with your heart, you say, well, I believe in my heart. No, that's not good enough. You got to confess with your mouth. That's what this verse says. If you shall confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, based on the belief that you have in your heart that God raised him from the dead, he said, then you shall be saved. But you can't just say, I just believe, and then I'm not going to say, no. You've got, when you believe the promises of God, you begin to confess them in your life. Praise ye the name of the Lord. Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 2. Now remember, again, this is a teaching. So we're giving you all the scriptures so you can write them down and check them out. Proverbs chapter 6, he's going to tell you here how that you are ensnared by the words of your mouth. That's why you got to make sure you speak positive things only. Amen? Praise ye the name of the Lord. Get rid of those negative thoughts, sir, and those negative things. Proverbs 6 and verse 2. Thou art ensnared with the words of thy mouth. Thou art taken with the words of thy mouth. He's going to tell you twice, you know, to make sure that you understand it. You are snared by the words of your mouth. So make sure you are confessing the word of God. Make sure you are confessing, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. That's what you ought to be confessing. Don't wake up in one and say, well, today, you know, oh, you know, another day of sorrow and so forth. No, get rid of all of that. You wake up in the morning and say, today is the day that the Lord has made. Hallelujah. No, I feel good this morning. I know there's a blessing coming my way. Hallelujah. The psalmist, he always confesses. He said, oh, when I go, I know that right behind me, there's going to be goodness and mercy.
Amen.
Amen? So every day when you wake up, when you leave the house, you check. Make sure goodness is behind you. Make sure mercy is on the other side. Say, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. So everywhere I'm going, I know goodness is following me. I know mercy is following me. Praise ye the name of the Lord. They are at the beacon of faith, sir. If you have faith, they'll follow you. Amen. So you'll be confessing positively because your words are very powerful. See, you are ensnared by the words of your mouth. Let's read Isaiah 43 and verse 26. We're talking about the confession part now of faith. Isaiah 43, what you need to declare, how you need to declare, you know, your word. I mean, you declare his promise. He won't declare it to God himself. Isaiah 43 and verse 26. He says, put me in remembrance. That's the Lord talking. You know, remind him of what he said. Remind God of his promise. Put him in remembrance, he said. Let us plead together. Declare thou. When you declare it, you are speaking it for, that thou mayest be justified. In other words, plead your cause with God. I said, God, you promised this, sir.
Amen.
Praise God. And you confess it. You go about pleading, confessing, and putting God in remembrance. And that's how you get your victory. Praise ye the name of the Lord. Praise ye the name of the Lord. Psalm 103 and verse 20. We're still talking about the confession and what God will do based on your word, if your word is based also based on his promise. Psalm 103 and verse 20. He said, bless the Lord, ye his angels, that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word. You say, what does that mean? Well, it means that the selling angels, the strong ones, the powerful ones. There's hierarchy among the angels. Oh yeah. The ones that are really ready to go to battle for you. They are waiting for the voice of God's word. There's got to be a voice to it. And they will hearken to the voice of that word. You know, so if you verbalize that word and you begin to declare it by faith, then the angels will go to work on your behalf. Praise ye the name of the Lord. Because they are always waiting to see somebody that's going to speak something that has faith in it. And when you can speak something that has faith, the angels go into action. Praise ye the name of the Lord. Oh yeah, those strong angels, one of these days I'm going to preach on the ministry of angels, and you don't want to miss it. You know, those strong angels, they go where faith commands. Praise ye the name of the Lord. Oh yes, that's exactly how they work. Now, Job chapter 22 and verse 28. Now I'm winding down on the scriptures that I'm going to give you here, and then I'm going to say some things that the Lord wants me to say here this morning. Job 22 and verse 28. Now, you should read verses 21 through 28 of Job 22, but I don't have time to read all of it. But because it talks about, we've talked about the conditions. So the condition here is, acquaint yourself with the Lord. That's the condition. You know, get in with God in His praises and His worship. You know, don't just, you know, every day, you don't worship the Lord, you don't praise the Lord, you just say, Lord, do this, Lord, do that, and so forth. God is not your errand boy. Amen? Amen. Praise ye the name of the Lord. He is the King of kings. He is the Alpha and the Omega. He seated upon the circle of the earth, and no man can tell him what doeth that. You know, but how you move God is through worship. Oh, yeah. When you get in with God and when you get His favor, you know, through worshiping and so forth like that. You know, when you know how to walk that praise, oh yeah, then your faith can swell up within you. And then when you command, the Lord will send the angels. And they will do it. You know, so you acquaint yourself with the Lord and you be at peace. You do all of these things and so forth. And here's what he says, you know, verse 27. Thou shalt make thy prayer unto him, and he shall hear thee. And thou shalt pay thy vows. That's another one of those conditions. God has no pleasure in fools. When you come and promise something in the house of God and you don't keep it, that's like being a fool, God said. You know, so what you do is, you know, you pay your vows and do all of these things. Some of you say, Lord, you know, if you do this, I'll do this. But the Lord will do it, and they won't do that. You know, they just run off and so forth. They forget. Well, God has no pleasure in that. Thou shalt also decree a thing. Oh, yeah. That's part of your confession of faith, too. You decree a thing and it shall be established unto you. Praise ye the name of the Lord. And the light shall shine upon your ways. Oh my. That's it. So, you know, let's review it quickly. See the promise. Be persuaded that God is able to do what He has promised. Embrace it into your life and then begin to confess. And I'm going to give you two examples here in the Bible. I'm not going to talk about Jesus very much. You know, but of course, Jesus, you know, He confessed everything. You know, every day He said, you know, put this body in the grave and 3 days later, I will raise it up. Amen? Amen. He was confessing it. Praise God. And that's, I will raise it up. That's what Jesus said. You know, so take note of that. You know, so, you know, He was always confessing that. But let's not talk about that, you know, because we, you know, say, well, that was Jesus. Well, let's talk about people just like us. Well, Abraham. And I love to go back to Abraham because some people call him father of faith and so forth. You know, so I love to go back to him. After God promised him, say, I am thy shield and exceeding great reward. Walk thou before me and be thou perfect. That was the condition. And then when he got a hold of that, he said, well, gee, you know, I'm going childless and so forth. What are you going to do for me? And the Lord, He gave him the promise. You know, and we read about how he didn't stagger and how he kept on to that promise and so forth like that. So, you know, but it took him, over a quarter of a century to attain that promise. But he kept going. And this is how Abraham confessed it. You know, one day, you know, he said to his friends, he said, well, my name is not Abraham anymore. My name is now Abraham, because I will be the father of nations. You know, that's how he confessed it. So he carried that confession about every day. And it took him 25 years to realize it. And he is carrying about it every day, and people mocked him and laughed at him and said, father of nations, indeed. You don't even have a child. So how in the world are you going to be father of nations? But he said, the Lord promised me. And I know that he is able. And I am persuaded that he is able. And I will yet be the father of nations. Amen. And now, well, he got it too. You know, after 25 years, he got that seed. And oh my, because of the faith of Abraham, you all are sitting in here today. Praise ye the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. So Jesus finally came through that lineage, and we are here. Amen. I don't have time to go into that. But let me talk about, you heard me talk about Abraham so many times and so forth. But I'm going to talk about somebody else today as we close this up. There's a man in the Bible called Caleb. He was with Joshua when Moses sent the spies to spy the land. And you've heard me preach about that before. You know, but everybody else came back with an evil report that the land, they couldn't conquer the land and so forth. Because the Lord promised them the promise that they were going to inherit the land. They should have seen the promise afar off. They should have been persuaded that God was able to do it. And they should have embraced that every day and said, we are able to go up and take that. And then they should have been confessing and gone and taking the victory. But they came back and gave a negative confession. And I don't have time to read all of that. But Joshua and Caleb, they said, we are able to go up and take this place.
Hallelujah.
Praise ye the name of the Lord.
Hallelujah.
And I want to read to you how it took Caleb, some of you may not know this, 45 years. Now, we talked about Abraham, it took him 20 years and so on, you know. But I'm going to read to you how it took Caleb 45 years. But the whole time, oh yeah, he was believing God and he wouldn't turn it loose. And he finally got it too. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Yeah, he finally got what he believed God for. The whole time he was believing God. And oh my, when it came time to divide the land, he got it. So let's read how he did it in Joshua chapter 14. Now, before we go to Joshua chapter 14, you know, I just sensed here that somebody may not know. Give me a few minutes to read a background to you of this story that I just paraphrased. In Numbers 13, in case you don't know this story, I will just read a couple, few things and then we'll go to Joshua 14. Numbers 13. You can read the whole chapter of how Moses sent them to spy the land and so forth. You know. And in verse 25 of Numbers 13, when they came back searching the land after 40 days, you know, they went to the congregation and then they began to tell the people, you know, and then they, you know, many of them were telling the people things that made the heart of the people to melt. And then in verse 30, Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go at once and possess the place, for we are well able to overcome it. Now all the other people gave, you know, they gave, you know, the report that the, you know, the giants in the land, and the land, the people are like grasshoppers and we cannot do anything about it, and you know, we are afraid and so forth. And Joshua and Caleb said, And here's what they said. But the men that went up with him said, we are not able to go up against these people. So the other people are confessing negative things. He said, for they are stronger than us. And you know, they, all the people brought an evil report in verse 32, except Caleb and Joshua, you know, and so on, you know. And Numbers chapter 14 and verse 6. Here's what Joshua and Caleb said. And Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land, when they heard all the evil report, they rent their clothes. And they spake unto the company of the children of Israel, saying, the land which we pass through to search it is an exceeding good land. So they are going to confess something positive here. And if the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us to this land and give it to us. Amen. A land which floweth with milk and honey. Now, and they're going to warn the people now. They say, only rebel ye not against the Lord. Neither fear ye the people of the land. Notice what they are going to say here. Because they are bread for us. We don't have them for lunch. Amen. Now, is that some positive confession or what? Oh yeah, we can do it. We can take them out. You know, Caleb, he was a man of war, so was Joshua. You know, they looked and they knew the promise of God. They knew God promised to them. They didn't care all the obstacles on the way, how big the people looked or how the land did and so forth. They said, we got the word of God. And we are going in there. These people are bred. We're going to eat them for lunch. And we're going to deal with them and so forth because the Lord is with us and we should not fear them. So that's the background to the story. Now, turn with me to Joshua chapter 14. And let's read. And now Moses, I don't have time to read this part, but Moses, he gave commandments, you know, either that when Joshua gets in there and divides the land and so forth, the reward that he's going to give to Caleb because of how he believed God and so on. Now, so I don't have part to read that right now, but here is the day that Joshua is dividing the land and Caleb is going to make his claim based on the faith that he had and the confession of faith that he had. And now we're going to see how long it took him to get to this point. Now, there's also a message on our website called Give Me This Mountain. If you want to listen to that, that's, I talked about all of this there. So that was preached about 2 or 3 years ago. Give me this mountain. So you can listen to that. But here's what Caleb said in Joshua chapter 14 and verse 7. He said, 40 years old. Now let me read from verse 6 so you get the background. Then the children of Judah came unto Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said unto him, that's unto Joshua, thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and thee. So that's when they brought the good report and so forth, and all the others brought the evil report. Now, Joshua, he's telling him now, he said, Joshua, you know what, you know, the Lord said to Moses concerning us. 40 years old I was when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent us to spy out the land and so forth, and brought him word again that it was, you know, as it was in my heart. So he's reminding Joshua here. Now, Joshua was with him when they did this thing. But he's reminding him. He's going to stake his claim now. You know, he said, look, remember. Now, remember, God said, put me in remembrance. So he's reminding Joshua. He said, nevertheless, my brethren that went up, they made the heart of the people to melt, but I wholly followed the Lord my God. And Moses swore on that day, saying, surely the land whereon thy foot has tread upon shall be your inheritance, because you have wholly followed the Lord. You know, so verse 12, he said, now he said in verse 11, as yet I am strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, so is my strength now, to go out both for war and to come in. Now, therefore, give me this mountain. He's going to claim it now. He said, oh, he's going to claim it. Yes. And he said, well, the Lord spake, you know, and he said, if the Lord be with me, he will drive up all of these people. And he claimed the promise. He claimed the promise. You say, how did he claim the promise? Because the whole time he was confessing it and so on. Now, let me read to you here. Let me bring to your attention here the part that I skipped, just to make sure that you understand how long it took him. You know, because he said in verse 7, 40 years old I was when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me out and so forth. Then he began to tell them, he said, and now, verse 10, the Lord has kept me alive. As he said, these 45 years, even since the Lord spake this word to Moses, you know, and he said, you know, look at me this day, I am 85 years old. So it took him 45 years. Amen. But he stayed with that promise, and he wouldn't turn it loose. And God kept that word. Because they went in there, they drove all those people away and so forth. You know, they had to fight many battles. But when it came time for him to claim his inheritance, it had taken 45 years from the time that the Lord gave that promise to him, because you believed in the word of the Lord, you're going to inherit this land. It took him 45 years. He was 40 then, and now he's 85. But he got it. Praise ye the name of the Lord. Praise ye the name of the Lord. Praise ye the name of the Lord. Now, that is the teaching this morning, and I want us to stand to our feet and put our hands together for Jesus. Give the Lord a hand clap here this morning. Come on, give the Lord a hand clap here this morning. Amen. Now, here is what we are going to do. We have taught the word of God this morning and shown you the essentials of faith, the four elements that can give you great faith if you know how to walk them. And you must know his promise. You must be persuaded that he's able. You must embrace it and make it a part of your life. And then you must confess, sir, and believe that God will bring it to pass. Amen?
Amen.
Now, having taught that this morning, I want to challenge everybody to begin to put this into practice. Every day. Whatever you are facing. Some of you may be facing some challenges today. Maybe it's sickness. Maybe it's a loss of job or loss of your home. Or whatever your situation is. Or any crisis in the family and so forth. You find a promise in the Word of God that deals with that situation. Then you stake your claim on it. You be persuaded that God is able to do it. And you put it into that situation. You put that promise into that situation. And you go about confessing and reminding God of what he said. And you walk in the conditions that God gave concerning that promise. And he will bring it to pass. How many of you say amen to that?
Amen.
Now let us pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your word this morning. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12. That's for you here this morning. The word of God is quick. And it is powerful. And it is sharper than any two-edged sword. And it can discern. Okay, even between the spirit and the soul and so forth. And the soul, you know, the bones and the marrow, the word of God can do all of that. Everything is naked in his eyes. And he can go even in the bones and the marrows. Now, if you are sick in here this morning, the word of God, Bible says he sent his word down. And he healed them. The word can go into your bones. It can go into your marrows. The word can bring healing. Even to your emotions. The Bible says, I am the Lord that healeth thee. And Jesus doesn't only heal sickness. He can heal the brokenhearted too. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me to heal the brokenhearted. That means you have a relationship that is broken. Or you have, you know, something that is that has driven you into, you know, into depression and so forth. God can heal that. Praise the name of the Lord. God can heal every situation in your life. No matter what it is, he can heal it. God raises the dead. He doesn't bury any dead. He raises the dead. So anything that is dead in your life, God can bring it life to it again. Amen. Can these bones live again? Absolutely. Yes, they can live again. Praise God. Lord, we thank you for this teaching this morning. And as we get hold of the promises of God, help us, Lord, to know that you are able. And I want everybody to say, God is able.
God is able.
That what he has promised,
he's
also able to perform. Now, as you believe that, we want you to embrace his promise into your life and go about confessing. And no matter what you are facing, say, you know, to tell to people who are unbelieving around you, sirs, I believe God.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. Lord, we thank you for your people this morning. Give grace to everyone, Lord. Oh yes, the Bible says when there is a casting down, that you will say to them there is a lifting up. And I want to say to you in here this morning, you are here because you are cast down and the Lord brought you in here. I want to tell you there is a lifting up this morning. Praise ye the name of the Lord. Now, and although this was a teaching and not my usual preaching type of summons, you know, yet there is opportunity for you to receive great help here this morning. Because when we combine our faith together, the Bible says one can chase a thousand, but if you get together with somebody that has some real faith, then two of you can chase 10,000. Praise ye the name of the Lord. Now, I want to guarantee you that there is faith in here this morning. So if you want a little boost, I'm going to believe the Lord with you this morning. And we will believe the Lord together.
Amen.
Praise ye the name of the Lord.
Amen.
I know the service ran a little over, you know, but if you can get your victory, then it was worth it. Amen?
Amen?
Praise the Lord. So if you are here this morning and you need that little boost, we're going to be closing the service in a few minutes, but I want to believe God with you before you go. I want to believe God under this anointing with you. Praise God. Because the word of God is like a hammer that breaks every yoke. Amen. So if that's you this morning, while I'm praying this prayer, I want you to stand forward here and let me shake your hand and believe God together. And then we'll see what the Lord will do. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. If anybody wants to take that challenge and be bold and come forth and let's believe the Lord together, let's see what the Lord will do for you. Amen. It doesn't matter what your situation is. It doesn't matter what you are experiencing. It doesn't matter why you came in here today. God will lift you up. Amen. Praise God. They are coming. They are coming. They are coming. Praise God. Hallelujah. Now, Lord Jesus, the Bible says, unto you shall the gathering of the people be. See, these people are coming unto the Lord, not to me this morning, but I spoke the word of God. That's why they are here this morning. And the Lord will confirm his word that he gave me this morning. Now, for those of you who are here, I'm going to believe God with you in Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
Praise God. Now, I've got this anointing oil right here. I'm going to put the oil right here in my palm, and then I am going to believe God with you.
Amen.
Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's believe the Lord together.
Yeah.
If you believe that God said, whatsoever two of you shall agree concerning anything, that the Lord will do it, I'm going to agree with you this morning, and the Lord will do it. So I want you to put your hand right here. Praise God. Let's believe God together. Lord Jesus, thank you, Lord, as we agree. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Let's put your hand right here. Let's believe the Lord together. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. 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 Put your hand right here. Let's believe the Lord together. Amen. I've got the anointing oil in my hand, and I've got the power of the Holy Ghost. Praise God. Come on. Let me get some oil in this hand, and let's see the power of God work for you here today, this morning. Put your hand right here, sir. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God bless you, sir. God bless you, sir. Hallelujah. Praise God. Next person. Let's do this real quick. Everybody, if you've already agreed with me, you can go back to your seats. Let's get the next person. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Let's get the next person in here. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. 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 Come on, let's do this. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. God bless you, brother. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Everybody put your hand together for the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. We're about to close the service. I want to assure you, if you go and walk with those teachings, the Lord is going to help you. And if you need additional help, for those of you that came behind, I am going to make myself available after the service for any one-on-one deliverance, one-on-one believing the Lord, in addition to this that we did. If you want that, you know, we'll do that for you after service. Let's lift our hands and close the service this morning. Praise God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Sing with me one more time. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for your people. Go with each one of them and bless them and make all grace to abound towards them so that they may have sufficiency in all things and give glory to your name. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Now let's share the grace together. The grace of our Lord Jesus, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us now and always. Amen. Now, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever. Amen. And everybody said,
yes.